Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to All Things Charity with Richard Rosman, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon, everyone. Here we are, December 15th. That's right, 10 days to the magical day of Christmas. And I know everyone's out there hustling, bustling. Sheila and I visited the Grove this afternoon in a beautiful, balmy 80 degrees, had a wonderful lunch, and just were watching the people go by buying their treasures to take home and had to fill up the stockings and put under the tree. It really looked like a typical California day. Hey, be jealous, East Coast. We had 80 degrees today. However, let's remember what we do and what the seasons involve. And who are we celebrating? We're celebrating the birth of Christ. We're celebrating the birth of the Savior of mankind 10 days from now. The real meaning of the holiday, all the festivities are wonderful. All of the family gatherings are wonderful. All of the wonderful food and the presents under the tree. But what is also important? Are we also looking out for our fellow man? Are we looking at people we see who may live on the street? Do we just still drive by? Do we walk by? Remember the Good Samaritan tale. When the Good Samaritan walked by, he saw the person in the ditch with injuries and took him to the inn. How many other people walk by? There's those that walk by who are completely oblivious and don't realize that there are needs of others. There are those that walk by the injured person who recognize that that person needed help but say, hey, I'm not getting involved. I'm not putting myself out there. I'm not risking anything, getting out of my comfort zone to help. And then along comes the Good Samaritan. And not only did he help, when he went to the innkeeper, remember what he said? Go ahead and read it in the Bible. He said, quote, to the innkeeper, here is funds to take care of his needs for now and some extra, and I will return if there's any extra charges or any extra compensation that you need for making sure that this injured person is put on back on the track, back out into the civilization at the time. What are you doing? This is the holiday season. By the way, I'm going to backtrack for a minute. What happened over the last week? First of all, I told you the adventure. My wife is going off to medical school on the 6th, and she's going to Ross, and I'm going to go visit and to send off. So the show on that weekend is going to be a fill-in show, and we haven't quite figured out if we're going to put one in the can, and we'll make sure that that's enjoyable. And I will keep you updated on that voyage that we're taking. Literally, it's a voyage of a husband and wife and how we're going to handle this, the separation anxiety on my part. But all my friends tell me I'll get through it. They said, hey, when she comes out as a doc, she'll be doing wonderful things for mankind, and I believe that. Number two, this week we went to the Catholic Charities Gala down at the California Club, and all of the different things that the Catholic Charities are involved in, whether it's education, St. Vincent de Paul. We know what they do downtown L.A. and downtown almost every city around the country. They feed the homeless. They put themselves out. They put themselves at risk, and they take care of their fellow man. Very, very important work. Very important work. Yeah, on Friday, we got to attend the British American Business Council holiday party, and the Duchess of York was there, who gave a moving speech about the inner city, about how to give back, and also was a tribute to Mandela. And when we talk about getting involved, we talk about making a difference, what if Mandela decided to play it safe? What if during all of the strife and turmoil that in South Africa, he decided to tell his wife at the time, he said, look, you know what, we can live a good life. I'm a lawyer. We could probably live a good, comfortable life. Let's not put ourselves out there at risk. What would have happened if Mr. Mandela had chosen that, not put himself out at risk? He risked his family. He risked his safety. He risked his life. He risked everything. However, was the risk worth it? Look at the change that he's made, and his inspiration is still reverberating around the globe and will continue throughout the lifetime of humanity. So this show is about giving back. This show is about making a difference. Yes, we have nonprofits on who make a difference. We do not charge them one dime. We do not have any commercials on this show at all. The show is about a nonprofit or individuals that are in the community that are making a difference. Now, the new year is coming. Hey, you know what? Last year we talked about making a difference. Why not this year? All of you husbands, wives, and families with kids, sit around and say, are you going to get involved this year? Will you mentor a child? It could be just as easy as visiting a senior citizen center. Do you know how lonely those folks are? Because once they're put in there and they're in their 80s and there's millions of them, no one visits. If you went over there and just said, hi, hello, you know what? You'd make their day. How about getting involved in a homeless shelter, a food bank? How about getting involved in Big Brothers, Big Sisters? How about looking online or getting involved with a number of nonprofits, whether it's with children, whether it's the environment, whether it's healthcare, you name it, you have the opportunity and the choice to get involved. So our challenge is 2014 is around the corner and we're all going to sing Auld Lang Syne and we're going to look at the Rose Parade and all that kind of stuff. And that's nice. However, in 2014, what difference are you going to make in the lives of your fellow human beings? Remember, the choice is yours. It's wonderful that we have all these wonderful programs and America's Got Talent and all this kind of things coming in and Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football and Saturday Football and Sunday Football, and we can get caught up in this and the year will go by and all of the plans that we had about will we make a difference just went right out the window. The hardest, remember, a body in motion stays in motion. Inertia is the biggest enemy. Comfort zone is a bigger enemy. Challenge to the listeners are get out of the comfort zone. Go down to a food bank. Go down to a mission. Go to mentor a child, and your life will be transformed. One last thing before we introduce our guest. And I know my wife is going to accuse me of preaching. She's in the studio with me, and I am preaching right now. Sorry. But one last thing. What are they going to say about you? What do you want them to say about you as your legacy? Are you a giver? Are you a neutral? Sometimes give, sometimes don't. Are you a taker? That basically it's all about me. This whole thing is all about me. It's not about a giver. A giver, we know who they are. Mandela was a giver. Martin Luther King was a giver. Mahatma Gandhi was a giver. Mother Teresa was a giver. And we all may say, I couldn't possibly do what they do. They chose when the opportunity came, they chose to make a difference rather than, like the story of the Good Samaritan, look the other way. In the studio today, we have two wonderful gentlemen who have made that choice. They've made the choice to make a difference. And they're going to do this work, this fine, wonderful work, through arts and entertainment, which is their background. In the studio today, I have TJ Stafford and Greg Smith of the Believe Foundation. That's www.believefoundation.org. Go look at that program. They are going to establish in LA the Los Angeles School of Arts and Entertainment. But before we go on to their current project, why don't we introduce and bring them on and say, you know what, how did you guys get to this point? So whoever wants to lead it off, welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
All right, in a nutshell, so what was your previous life before you came to this conclusion that you needed to start an arts school?
Oh, geez, my previous life.
By the way, this is TJ speaking, folks. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Greg's voice is much sexier.
Okay.
That's right.
Oh, whoa, right. Listen to that. He should be on the jazz right. Station. Whoa.
Playing slow jam.
Yeah, that's right.
No, my previous life was I led music at a church in town, and that's how I met Greg. And I've been pursuing music my entire life.
Are you allowed to mention the church, or is that something?
Yeah, Bellary Presbyterian.
Which is a pretty, when we just talk about a church, it's not a corner church. That was a pretty major deal, if I
right.
And you're pretty, you were in that gig for
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
Are you still doing that, or are you,
No, I'm doing solo music stuff now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Greg, how did you come to, before you made the decision to start getting involved with the foundation, what was your background?
Wow, my background is teaching. I've been a instructor, an educator for some time, and also a musician and a producer.
Okay.
So I've been in the entertainment industry for all my life, and my father's a minister in South Central.
It's okay to do a shout-out about your dad. Your dad's
What's up, Dad? I would like to say
your dad's a preacher. A preacher. Your dad is a legend in South Central.
Yeah, my father, Reverend Irvin Smith, has been a minister in South Central Los Angeles for 52 years.
Yes.
And he's presently still a minister, 83 years old today. 83 years old. And I grew up in the church, South Central, and he's been in one area, and I think he's one of the few left. There's maybe like three ministers of that stature that's been in South Central that long that's still preaching today.
I'm going to digress for a minute. Being a preacher's son has had to be a very tough fishbowl type of existence, correct?
Yes, I lived in that fishbowl, man, with my dad up front and then me swimming in the back like little guppies. Yeah, it was a lot of... A lot of stress.
Absolutely.
A lot of stress.
You had to live up to the legend. And,
and
your dad had to point out if you're living up to the legend.
Yeah, and Mama, because Mama was the one who gave the whippings out.
Whoa. Okay. All right, so you guys, did you know each other? How long have you known each other before you came to this the conclusion about the Los Angeles School of Entertainment and Arts and the Belief Foundation?
We've known each other 6-7 years now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we met through a mutual friend. I was working at the church. Trying to start a nonprofit kind of music, arts, and entertainment thing with this guy, Sean Holt, and he's an amazing musician in town.
Actually, he's on the board also.
Okay.
Sean Holt.
Okay.
Right. And he introduced us to Greg, or introduced me to Greg, said, this guy's doing great stuff, after-school programs, exactly what we're looking for. And we met, and we started talking, and dreaming and literally just spitballing like a bunch of idiots in a room going like, what would you like to do? What do we want to do? I don't know what you want to do.
And TJ came with the bright idea. Let's start a school.
And yeah.
Like, really?
And we're like, how do we start a school? I don't know. Let's figure it out.
And it was basically us, you know, blue skying, like, you know what? Let's start a school. And we just hit the ground running and started recruiting people. And being that I've already been in the school district teaching at a few charter schools, I've decided that I would be a great front person to make that happen. So TJ and Sean's idea, well, let's build a school. Greg, let's go for it. So I just started recruiting people, and actually we just started taking a bunch of meetings, and one thing led to another, and we got, you know, we're doing very well.
Okay, it's pretty audacious, starting a school.
Man.
First of all, okay, you know, everybody, there's a lot of, I'm going to put you a little bit on the coals here. There's a lot of charter schools. There's a lot of schools out there that are emerging and trying, and there's dreams. You guys came up with the arts entertainment. Can you tell me, we know that the experience in South Central, the dropout rate's over 50%.
Right.
That's abysmal.
Yeah, right.
Anybody who's willing to give a shot and turn that around, my hat's off to you. How are you guys in this arts and entertainment school, private school, whatever that you're doing, how are you going to change that culture of over 50% dropouts?
Well, that's a large question.
Very.
Multifaceted. One, we change it, one community. Our history and our background is in arts and entertainment, and that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's like, let's start with what we know. We know that that kids are engaged with this,
mm-hmm.
that just seeing Greg do his after-school programs, we know that they will commit hours to being at an event like this as opposed to getting into whatever else kind of trouble.
Okay.
Start there. We know how to do this. We can get kids engaged for a few hours.
Okay, so with Greg's after-school programs, you had no problem
right.
Recruiting kids, because I understand
right.
some of the programs down in South Central, they're there, And the kids just blow them off. They don't even go.
Right.
I've heard that. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
Right. And where the school came from that is we were doing these after-school programs, and all of us involved tend to be big dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a fine line between inspiration and delusion.
I've crossed that line many times.
Yeah. So often I wonder what, you know, where we are sometimes in this, because it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the point. It's for it to be bigger than ourselves and what we're capable of. But we said, let's start a school. We can, if we can engage them for hours, we can engage them for days, get the families involved, and not just teach them music and how to perform and get a few hours a week from them, but we can make them better scientists. We can make them better mathematicians.
Good. That's where I was going, because remember, like so many young people, I look at it, they all say they're going to be professional basketball players or professional football players. Right. How many actually make it? You guys have one on arts and entertainment, but you're going to work on the holistic kid, so to speak, so that emerging from there, how many are actually going to make a career in arts and entertainment? Will they be prepared with science and math and English to basically go out and with the training you have, basically presenting skills, presenting themselves, presenting their best foot forward, knowing how to do an interview, and those kind of things which come out of, that's all acting.
The science is, there's actually very strong science behind the fact that an arts-rich education creates better students across all facets.
Yes.
They actually score 46% better on tests across the entire spectrum than kids that aren't in an arts-rich environment.
I agree.
Which speaks to the effectiveness of having arts involved, and California is dead last in arts funding.
Let me back up for it. California is dead last in arts funding.
We are the center of arts creation in the world, the entire world, the universe as we know it. I mean, we can go that far.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dead last in arts funding. And
I'm not surprised. Nothing ceases to amaze me about the school system in the state as it stands right now.
And that's funny because one of the parts, well, not really funny, but it's sad because my last job when I got laid off as a music instructor, that's why I was like, this is ridiculous. Why are you taking the arts out of the schools? Even charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
Charter school took the arts out. It was like, this is getting a little absurd.
Sure.
So our mission is definitely to provide a great education that they can go to a college, but also be the hub to where they can go and get a job through our school. Well, we'll be the guys that, you know, yes, we're going to help you find a job in the entertainment industry. And not just trying to be in front of the mic, but behind the mic or, you know, as a grip or as a director.
Yes.
So our mission was, and what's funny, we're in the entertainment capital of the world. And it's hard for a kid, South Central, to be able to go down or go across the bridge to get a job over there or get an opportunity over there. So we're like, you know, I remember growing up in South Central LA. It's like, I didn't know where to go to get this type of an education. I wanted to be a cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you know what? You're going to have to get on a bus from the hood late night and go way up to Hollywood. And then when you get there, you're going to have to pay for the education. You know, sign up and finance it. You know, it's like, but it shouldn't be that way.
And that's one of the things that we've has become one of our main emphasis in that we found in creating this school is that there's no connection between the realistic, very tangible industry that exists 5 miles from their house.
Mm-hmm. 5 miles.
They see the people on TV, they see the artists and the actors and the musicians, but they don't know that there are literally thousands and thousands of other opportunities that exist within this industry.
Yes.
That they're not getting access to.
Mm-hmm.
So you, one of our goals is to not only give them this broader education, liberal arts-esque type education, but also a very tangible skill set of how do you be an animator? How do you become a sound engineer? Mm-hmm. How do you design sets?
Mm-hmm.
How do you become a writer?
Mm-hmm.
So
the,
all of this
the English
stuff,
skills, the math skills, and all the science
all
that all comes
in.
And if we do this correctly, we can be a direct conduit to getting them internships, getting them opportunities that exist within the industry behind the camera that they don't have access to right now.
Sure. Wow. That's a heck of a dream. Okay, so now we know the why, and we know you know, the planning that's gone into it. Where are you now? Where, you know, okay, here we are. January 14 is coming around the corner.
Right. We're so in a radio station. Preaching.
Come on, y'all, help us out. We're very close. We're closer than what we were. Mm-hmm. We're at a position now where 2014, we are on track to open up the school in the fall of 2014, our first performing arts school. And if we start small.
First? Wait, okay,
well,
all right.
That's
blowing,
the big, I'm going big.
Here,
I'm
right,
going big.
Okay.
Not only do we want to build schools here, we want to go to other states and build schools. So we want to start here in Los Angeles, which is the entertainment mecca, and then go to other locations that are you know, definitely a lot of need for this type of a school. We would love to go to Chicago and build a school there. We'd love to go to Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. We would love
New
to
York,
go to
New
York. We actually want to maybe be the franchise of we're the guys to go to that to help build these schools for performing arts. So we're dream big. You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
Inspiration or delusion?
That's it. How many? I don't even know where to start about starting a school. So let's just say location. Where do you want to build this first school in the greater L.A. County area? I assume somewhere.
Right.
So where would the ideal spot be?
Ideally, it would be the South Central area, Inglewood area, essentially along the 105.
Okay. Okay.
Centrally located.
Compton.
Between the 405 and the 10.
Okay, got it. In there. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Centrally located. But, you know, there's so much real estate available.
Sure.
You know, we're starting to get like, well, we're pick and choose. So, but we do want to be centrally located to where we can attract, you know, where everyone would have an opportunity to attend the school.
Right, and now let's go. Okay, now the demand for this school.
Well, I'll tell you.
Tell me what the demand for this is. Okay,
amazing.
Now we know there's charter schools that deal with math and science. There's charter school now that deal with business and accounting. Where do you guys fit into that? To that scheme, so to speak, and how many kids can you attract?
There's a huge demand because we've already done our test when we had to get signatures. There was an instance where we were at a church in Inglewood getting petitions signed, and once they played our commercial inside the church, we had so many people rushing outside to sign a petition, like, can my kid go? You know, it was just like, it was almost overwhelming, calls and emails, you know, I want to get my child in this school. So we knew, and you know, kids, they you know, they latch on to entertainment. Anything dealing with entertainment, their eyes get big, and they'll want to learn. So we know the demand is there. Because there's a shortage also. You know, there's not enough schools available for these kids. If it's Hamilton, there's maybe like five or six.
Does Hamilton have a program?
They do have a music or entertainment program, but Hamilton High, you know.
Yeah.
But there's not enough schools, period.
Right, no. True.
You know, so that demand is there regardless if it's arts or education.
So how many students do you think would be, I mean, would it be, I mean, some of the local high schools are 2,000 kids, 3,000 kids. Where are you guys going to be, 500 kids? Well, or any idea?
Yeah, we'll start small.
Okay.
We'll actually try and be reasonable.
Sure.
Because based on the funding.
Right. You start 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade. Oh, you got to do all
six
four.
And seven.
No, so you go 6th and 7th.
Yeah, we start middle school and build.
Smart.
The goal is to
get
start
them
middle school.
Get them early.
Because that's where you can
cultivate them. You can
grow them.
You can build them. Not really build them, but that's when you can get them just at the right time.
Right.
Sixth grade is perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, you pass that phase, and when we can just and then they just roll over, and we know we have a turnkey of success because we got them early, and they're just continuing the ball, keeping it moving.
And then use that to grow year by year until it's middle school through high school.
All right. What about instructors? Is that easy or is that hard?
No,
easy. Okay, it's
now,
easy.
We know there's so many teachers that have been laid off.
Yes.
There are so many people that can teach because since we're a private school, you don't have to have credit.
Got it. Okay, so you're going to be a private school, so you get around the accreditation issue, that type of thing.
Well, we're
going to
have
it.
The best
All
teachers.
Right.
You know, we're going to definitely because we have
the. So now for the basics, for the English and the history and the math, you got to have.
Yes.
Okay.
They'll have their degrees and be accredited.
Right.
Recruit.
But when it comes down to teaching, directing, and producing, and writing symphonies and things like that, you're going to have
that are multitask.
At that point, a teacher, I don't care if you've got a degree from whatever, but if you've done stuff in the industry for years and you want to teach, I'll take that over a degree in a classroom any day.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. There's a gentleman I just met, Mark Weaver. who's a film director, mm-hmm. A television director, and mm-hmm. he has an Emmy. Mm-hmm. Great scientist, mm-hmm. but he also, has an Emmy in directing. Wants to be the science teacher, and then he can turn around and teach, mm-hmm. Directing or how to do, television. So, Jay Deal, another gentleman that has degrees in math, he's a mathematician, mm-hmm. he's a genius at math. He wants to teach math and then turn around and teach writing, music mm-hmm. 101. Mm-hmm. So there's these type of teachers. This guy, he's no mm-hmm. slouch right here. Very, very intelligent teacher. And he can turn around and teach music. He's sitting up straight. TJ is a great example to be one of our teachers. Sean Holt, who teaches now at USC, mm-hmm. right? And he's also one of the musicians on the Arsenio Hall show.
Sure.
When you watch the Arsenio Hall show late night, 11 o'clock, CBS, look for the brother in the back to the right. Always wearing a hat. That's Sean Holt.
The white brother.
But that cat is such a talented person, and he teaches part-time now at USC.
Okay.
So he'll be an instructor. So, there's so many people out there that we can engage in this opportunity because there's so many people that can teach, mm-hmm. that want to teach. Because I was getting a lot of emails, hey, I teach at this school, I'm ready to quit. Can I come teach for you guys?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have the leisure of picking and, picking the best. We're going to have the best teachers.
Have you lined up a principal yet, or you have? Okay, yes, all right. Yes. That was a question I didn't know.
There's a young lady who saw what we were doing on Facebook who's a teacher at a charter school. I won't put it out there, she's a teacher at a charter school.
All right.
She's a principal.
Okay.
She started this charter school, and mm-hmm. she found out what we were doing and said, you know what? I'm ready to come work for you guys. Mm-hmm. Now, that blew me away.
Right.
Because I was like, okay, we're on the right track. Mm-hmm. Because I've been praying, God, we need that person that can help us make sure we make every step correct from mm-hmm. here on. And all of a sudden, I get a call, hey, I see what you guys are doing. I was like, who's this? He told me. I was like, what? Really? Okay, great. So, we have that person, and she'll be pretty much the person in charge. She wants to be the principal.
Sure.
She's already committed. I'll be the principal for the first 2 years, then I want to move on to take it to another level.
TJ, are you okay with him being principal first? You're going to take orders from Greg?
No, it ain't me.
She will be. I got it wrong.
She wants to be principal.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
It ain't me.
I thought you said you'll be. Okay, I got it. Hey.
I take orders from Greg all the time.
All right, let's get down to brass tacks. First of all, you got to have political backing. How are the politicians viewing this, and are they saying, gee, TJ and Greg, we love you, we think it's the greatest idea since sliced bread, or are they going, oh, man, it's rain on their parade, you got halfway in between?
It's politics.
Yeah.
So they're not going to say no to, they're not going to say they don't like the idea of educating kids.
Right.
There's not going to be a politician back, I don't believe in schooling. But at the same time, there are politics involved in the actual setting up of schools in
certain areas.
In areas that the public school districts. You're going to get that fight. So we've seen both sides of that coin.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the support, and we've seen the
backlash
of we need to cater to constituents.
Got it.
So we feel, we actually know when we're put in front of the right politician that sees what we're accomplishing, they're going to mm-hmm. support it.
Yeah, we've had numerous politicians express
that they want it, right.
Right.
And they want to support it.
Okay. Because in the African American and South Central community, there's basically two main tranches.
And Hispanic, largely.
And Hispanic, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's tranches there. You've got the political base, you got the church base, mm-hmm. and then you got the community base.
Right.
And if any one of those three of the stool are not there with you, so you think you got the political base. What about the church base in South Central? I mean, that's huge. I mean, I know some of the major mega churches out there. What's going on with that?
There's actually three cornerstones. Those are two of them, the church base, mm-hmm. Political base, yeah. and then business base.
Business base.
That's kind of the triangle that you hope to hit right in the middle where everybody mm-hmm. agrees on it. Church base is amazingly supportive.
Amazingly supportive. Mm-hmm.
Because they... Most churches are involved in the community business. That's what they do. They create community.
Yes.
They see this as another facet of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they see their congregants, their family, if you will, their lives being changed and affected for mm-hmm. the better.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes it out. it aids them. It's instead of just a Sunday, we take care of them on Sundays, they know that there's going to be somebody else taking care of them during the week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We definitely have the churches, because remember, my history is in the church.
Yeah, what does your dad think of
this? My father loves it.
Okay, all right.
Of course they want me to be the next preacher, but I was like, let this be my ministry here. Let,
sure.
You know, support this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've been 100% behind what I'm involved with. And also, me being one of the priests.
Is it all right? It's, your dad's name's Urza, right? Is it? What's your dad's name?
Irvin Smith, Reverend Irvin
so
Smith.
So it's okay to say on the radio, yes, that Irvin, yes, Smith, Reverend Irvin Smith, the legend of South Central, supports what Greg Belief, Smith has,
exactly,
done at the Belief Foundation. Okay, yes. All right, I want that out there.
And I'll tell you this, if there's a few other ministers that I've been doing things for in the community, and I'll give you a prime example. I was known as one of the top event planners in South Central, where I was taking kids to, I was doing large events. You know, I was able to go into certain pastors and say, you know what, would you allow me to bring these kids off the street that you don't have access to or that you can't get into your venue and do a safe family friend event and watch all these kids come and support. And there was quite a bit of ministers who said yes. And I'll give you Bishop Noel Jones. I mm-hmm. took a few hundred mm-hmm. to his venue where he was like, where did you get all these kids from? Mm-hmm. Price, mm-hmm. Crenshaw Christian Center. Mm-hmm. I took over a few thousand to his event, to his venue, where it was like, wow. You know, so I've been doing this quite a bit. So I do have the support of the community. And
now, does Price and the other, do they know about the Belief Foundation? Are they?
You know what? Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Okay.
I'm sure
okay.
they do, because it is a small community.
Right, it is. It is. So I find in the hood, everybody right. knows what's going on. I get it.
Yeah.
But if the church is one of the backbones, and of course the political base, have you gone to, you know, any other, the congressman or the mayor or anything like that? Or
well,
not, you
know, we've gotten the blessings of Bishop Ulmer.
Okay.
At Faithful Central.
That's a rock star legend.
That's
yeah.
rock star.
Okay.
I like
yeah.
that he said it.
Yeah.
We have his support and his blessings to you know, to make this happen. He's given me a letter of recommendation.
Okay.
He's given us a letter of recommendation from when we were making the other move. So we have the support of the ministers. And they, like I said, it's a small community.
It is.
They know what we're doing.
It is. It is. It's very much so. Okay, now, let's segue to the business community. Mm-hmm. Anything there that you can really hang your hat on that the business community goes, I like what you're doing, or is it a work in progress? I don't want to put you on the spot, but you know,
that's
putting
kind of
it all together,
is, right?
Yeah,
it's a spot to be
it's
put
a,
on.
Yeah, you're being put on the spot here today. Yeah. That's right. You know,
yeah. Business wise, we don't have official corporate sponsorship.
Okay.
Yet we do have a ton of support.
Okay.
Whether it's giving venues, whether it's giving supplies, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what you see is a huge interest in both large corporate business that wants to be a part of something like this, even if it's just for namesake.
Sure.
And small businesses within the community because they also see the community being changed.
Yes.
That they live in.
Yes.
So great support, but we don't have official corporate sponsorship yet.
Okay.
Which is definitely needed.
Okay.
We're in a position now as a 501c3 that we can align ourselves.
So you are on a 501c3.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I'm a financial advisor. Every dollar going to you guys this year, unless they change it next year, is tax deductible.
Correct. So, and that's a perfect time to give at the end of the year. So if anyone's out there would like to make a charitable donation, you can go to our website.
Which, by the way, I gave the wrong website.
Oh,
so why don't you go ahead and do it, Greg?
It's BelieveFoundationUSA.org. That's all one word, BelieveFoundationUSA.org. And everything is there as far as they can make a simple donation online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with a click of a button, and
okay.
we will send you the pertinent information for your taxes if you were to make a charitable donation.
All right. Now, if somebody listening to this show said, hey, you know what, it sounds like a good idea, but I'm not going to write a check right now.
Mm-hmm.
How do they reach you guys? Time, talent, and treasure are three things that people can donate. So you
right.
got the people with the time. You know, usually retired folks, that type of stuff, and maybe
mm-hmm.
retired music teachers, for that matter, mm-hmm. get involved. Talent, you know, obviously you're looking for the talent, and the money. And the money and all three things are needed. When you're starting a project like this, you need all three putting together. So if mm-hmm. somebody wanted to reach you and said, okay, come on over and make a or can I meet with you to hear more about the Belief Foundation, where do they go?
they can easily email me at, you can go to info@believefoundationusa.org. You can email us there. When you go to our website, there's a contact email where you can click to contact us, fill out your information, and it'll come to us also. You can also email me at gproducer@hotmail.com, producer@hotmail.com. And then you can also reach out, and I'm going to just be bold enough to get my phone number out.
Go ahead. Okay.
Area code 562-761-8722. And my phone is on 24 hours except for now because we're live.
Wow, listen to that boy. We're live. Man, you should be a G. You should be sitting here.
I got the DJ.
You should have your own show.
I want to request a song.
Right.
Why don't you repeat all that information out of reach?
You can reach us at the website, believefoundationusa.org. There's a contact button on there where you can simply click it and fill out the information, and it'll send an email to us. Also, info@believefoundationusa.org. And you can email me at gproducer@hotmail. And the phone number is Erica 562-761-8722.
Okay. Now, you guys have, we've gone over the business, we've gone over the religious, we've gone over the political base, we've gone over the need, we've gone over the location. You mentioned, and I'm going to throw it out there, multiple schools and multiple locations.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, what's that all about? Where, how do you see this thing shaking out? You get the first one up and running in L.A. What happens next? I stunned him with that one.
No, it's not stumped. It's just it's fun to talk about because this is
I stunned, not stumped. Stunned.
Yeah, this is the big ultimate goal. So it's nice to finally talk about it because we've been talking about the kind of myopic view of Los Angeles thus far. In everything that we've done. But the big goal is we set up a very successful school in Los Angeles. We changed the community.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that takes 5 or 10 years, 2 years, who knows. When we do that, we have, with people on the board and people that we know that have connections to communities in other inner cities that would need this sort of community development, let's call it that, through a school. So we go to Chicago and we talk to them. We're going to set up a school, and we basically, for lack of a better word, you treat it like a franchise, and you cater it, mm-hmm. you tweak it to fit the needs of the specific community. But we have a structure, a prefab structure, if you will, to set up in other communities. So you go to Chicago, you set it up there. That becomes successful. You go to New York, mm-hmm. you set one up there. That becomes successful. You go to New Orleans, mm-hmm. and you hit these hotbeds of artistic creation, creativity, and you give kids that didn't have that opportunity before. And really the goal, and I wish that, I'm going to kind of go on a tangent here. I wish that the motivation was purely philanthropic, but it's not. A lot of it brings a lot of pleasure and joy to be a part of something like this, to be mm-hmm. a part of something that's bigger. The goal is to be a part of something that changes many, many lives, that exists beyond us, that exists when we're gone. Mm-hmm. And that can take many, many years and a lot of deserts to walk through. But that's the ultimate goal, is when you set up, then we go to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Then we go to other parts of the world and set up there mm-hmm. and leave a legacy and a change that is tangible for generations, not just in the immediate, but in the future.
So that's the idea.
Yeah, that's the big goal.
That's the big goal. And I'll give you a set this up. You know, a few years ago when Sean and I and TJ were actually, okay, let's build the school, it was like, well, we need to start developing our board mm-hmm. and finding people that mine like, and, you know, approach them with this. And one of the gentlemen we did approach was Mr. Michael Bearden, who's actually was the musician on Michael Jackson's...
Music director
from Michael Jackson's last adventure.
This Is It Tour.
So if you look at that movie, you'll see Mr. Michael Bearden on that show, in that movie. Also, he's now the musician, a music director for Lady Gaga. So we approached him when we first put the vision together. Hey, this we had 10 minutes because he was on the set to make the pitch. Turned out to be an hour. That's how in love he loved the product. He was like, I love it. Let's go. He made a call to the wife, came out of the trailer. I want to do this. I want to be a part of it. Put my name on it. So those kind of people, and he's from Chicago, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, is in dire need of something for those kids out there.
And he actually went to an art school in Chicago that he had to get bused to across town.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
So he was like, great.
So he had the experience of something like this. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And he was one of the kids we're trying to reach.
Right. Because, mm-hmm. and you know, because if you look at our video, he puts it out there. Years ago, I was one of these child. And, you know, look at me now. Mm-hmm. So the vision is, okay, Greg, let's build this school here, make it successful, and then promise him we'll build a school in Chicago, too. Mm-hmm. Like, no doubt. No, we got it. So he's definitely been on, since we started this, he's like, you know, I'm busy. I got a lot going on, but you guys have my support and you have my name. And that guy.
And we're like, just tell Lady Gaga to lay off again, all right? That's it.
Right. So our thing is, you know, by him having the power that he has, he's been pulling, you know, he's laid back and he's very politically correct.
Mm-hmm.
He just dialing in when he knows we're like right there. It's like we don't bug him, or it's like, hey Mike, but he checks in, what's going on? We was hoping he'll call in today, but he emailed me and said I have rehearsal with Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, excuses.
Yeah, right.
So do I.
Put her on the phone. But you know, he's like, great, you got my support, go make it happen. And so that is the vision. And also we want to put it out there to any athletes that are just getting signed and, mm-hmm. you know, if they want us to help them build a school and put their name on it, we want to be those guys that you know, some kid who just won the Heisman Trophy wants us to build a school in his hometown mm-hmm. with his name on it. We want to be those guys that mm-hmm. you reach out to us and we'll make it happen.
So you're looking for folks like that in the entertainment community. And I'm sure there's many musicians or people who are writers and songwriters and that type of thing who came up the hard way, who, had they had the opportunity mm-hmm. that you're offering, would have gladly taken advantage of it because they had that same urge at 6th and 7th grade, go, gosh, I can write, I can sing, I can do this, I can do that. And they had no venue, and there was probably a number of kids that they know who had the same talent who, by circumstances, ended up getting it beat out of them, literally, and they never pursued it. So someone in that profession, I mean, they're not looking specifically, but that would be a good place to start, would be the arts and entertainment profession itself, right?
Yeah, because we're here. We're entertainment capital of Los Angeles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I told you another good story was, you mentioned that, you know, having access.
Yes.
Because when I grew up in school, we had music.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being a preacher's kid, I was still being approached every day to be a part of a gang. Scared to go to school or scared to be in a fight. But I kept going. And if it wasn't for a music teacher who knew that I was musically talented and gave me some drumsticks and said, I know you like music. Here's some sticks. Here's a record. Learn this Miles Davis song. Come back. And I did it. That kept me in school. That kept me away from the gangs because that was access. Mm-hmm. I had access to a music teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all had access to that one person that saw something in us and gave us an opportunity.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to bring back is mm-hmm. like, or give these kids an opportunity to have access because there's so many kids out there that just don't know where to go or just don't have access. Mm-hmm. Or, they're, you know, all they have is their phones now
mm-hmm.
and YouTube. It's like, really?
Yes.
You know, and it's like we got to go back
mm-hmm.
to where we left. You know, mm-hmm. and it's just sad they're taking the arts out of school. But like I said, I had access to that music teacher that took a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we all have had that experience where mm-hmm. we had access to that one person that believed in you and that can help you further your dream.
Oh, absolutely. There's always a mentor that if mm-hmm. we're oblivious, if we don't go back and recognize that there was someone there at a critical juncture in our life who basically said, you know, take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Gretzky said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. How many people don't even take the shot?
Right.
Okay, assuming that we you get all of this up and running and you're now in California and you're around the globe, what is it that you guys, I mean, You're not in it for the money. God knows. There's no, anybody who runs a nonprofit, it's basically poverty. And did I say poverty? And maybe I should say poverty. That again. You're not making a fortune. What is it that you get out of this? And I try to emphasize this on the show. When you give, the endorphins, they said, the endorphins go off in your own head. When you see somebody else doing a good work, your endorphins go off in your head just by watching it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you guys have got to be feeling pretty good. But what do you, you know, okay, let's say that, God, I'm going to be morbid. It's a TJ and Greg's funeral. What are they going to say about you guys? I never thought I'd go there, but why not?
It depends who's there.
Right? Interesting.
If this goes as planned, and as dressed.
The legacy, let's go to the legacy. Forget the funeral thing. All right, legacy, yeah.
No, I like this. I like.
Oh, you're liking the funeral.
Yeah. Go talk about it, DJ.
Man, deathbed thoughts are a huge motivation to me. I'm not going to lie.
Right?
I'm not going to lie. You don't want to be laying there with regret.
You want to go to heaven, DJ. Yeah.
I just don't want to lay on my deathbed with regret.
No, that's right. Right. That's right. Yeah.
That's a big fear.
Yes.
So, That's
an interesting motivator, yeah. Too, TJ.
I mean, honestly, I want them to say, and that's what I said before, like I was saying before, like a lot of this is philanthropic motivation, but a lot of it is very personal and selfish, for lack of a better word. But, you know, you want people to say, he went for it. Like, he went crazy for it. He went for things that were way beyond his reach. And that he made a difference, that he laid a foundation
that
existed and continued beyond him.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's it. A foundation, we want to say our legacy, because we're both musicians anyway.
Right.
And we're not in that for the money.
Cause, no.
You know, it's just we don't sell music to make money. It's our art. It's our history. It's embedded in us to be artists, to be musicians. So this Belief Foundation is part of our mission, to make it happen, to help a kid, because we just did an event, and we had like 20 to 30 kids, and I sat there and watched them, and they just enjoyed just someone paying attention to them and giving them an opportunity to something they've never...
What kind of event was it?
We did a music event where we had kids from a...
It was a workshop.
A workshop.
Okay, all right.
And we were asked to be involved with a new company that has a new music software that's going to revolutionize the music industry. And they have this dynamic music software where they want to be able to take over the music industry on PC-based and Android. So they asked us to, you know, so knowing that we're in the community, can you bring in some kids? When we took the kids there, they were like, oh, my God. First of all, probably none have never been over in that part of L.A.
Yep.
They never been on a freeway past, you know, a certain street. And then when they were able to spend 2 or 3 hours with nobody over them or trying to take their equipment from them, where they were able to touch and on these tablets, they were like, oh, Greg and TJ, thank you. You know,
It was actually pretty ridiculous because we had, it was with a company called Open Labs.
Open Labs, so,
I want to give them a shout out. And this program that's
Starlight.
Was held-developed by both Timberland and Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park. So huge names attached to it. And so we have these Lenovo tablets set up everywhere with this music creation program on it. And gave them a 2-minute introduction to it.
Okay.
Said, here's this, here's some basic buttons. And I was sitting there like with the kids. I was behind a tablet going, You know, like I'm supposed to be helping lead this thing.
Right.
Like, okay, and then we do what?
Right.
And so we're at the tablets, and I go grab one because I want to start creating something.
Right.
You know, I want to see if I can make some music on this thing.
Right.
45 minutes later, I've got nothing.
The
kids have created these brilliant
music,
beautiful songs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's it. That's why we do this, is because I can't do that.
Right.
Do
we both were stunned. But the kids walked out of there, and they got free software. And like I said, they were able to they had access. And then they were being creative.
Sure.
You know, and they were learning because it still has to do with math. You know, they had to figure out bars and beats and listen using their ears. So it was a learning experience, but we actually helped some kids out that day.
Phenomenal. Now, look, we got about 50 seconds left. Somebody wants to reach you. How do they do it?
BelieveFoundationUSA.org, all one word.
How do they reach you personally?
562-761-8722.
That's Greg Smith.
Yes.
And TJ, Sarah, you want to have they contact you, or are you part of the...
No, please don't contact me. Contact Greg.
Contact Greg, okay. All right. But ladies and gentlemen, look, we had two wonderful guys. If you want to help, go to the Believe... I got it wrong the first time. It's BelieveFoundationUSA.org. BelieveFoundationUSA.org. Share the dream. I'm sure they're out there. There's some musicians. There's some artists who may know. Look at this and say, I want to hear more about what they have to say. Greg, how do they reach you again?
562-761-8722 or BelieveFoundationUSA.org is the best way.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap on Richard Rosman, allthingscharityradio.com. We'll see you next week. Look, we're going into the holidays. We're giving you ways to make a difference. Go out there, make a difference. God bless everybody. Be safe. Talk to you next Sunday.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station.
Richard Rosman, right here on Play Talk Radio. You're listening to All Things Charity. Richard Rosman with me, right here on LA Talk Radio. With Richard Rosman, right here on LA Talk Radio.